Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Oklahoma Perspective. What's it like to be a Democratic representative in the State House, where Republicans hold a supermajority? KRMG's Russell Mills talks with Denise Brewer, representative for District 71.
You know, I just always have to ask our Democratic friends, is it harder? I mean, do you face more of an uphill battle with that D after your name in Tulsa?
Oh, It's beyond imagination how much more difficult it is being a Democrat at the House or at the Capitol, period. We have 22 Democrats in the House, and then there's more than 70 Republicans. So there is that partisan divide where they, of course, will support their bills, and then we'll have a bill that is a reasonable, good bill for the people, and it's hard to get them to just put the party lines down and vote for what's best for the people. And it's we have such wide differences. For example, this week there was House Bill 1111, which made it legal to carry a long gun or any kind of gun into a restaurant whose profits are 51% from food or more.
The gunslinger bill. As Representative Goodwin dubbed it, brilliant.
Yes. We were so against that. And put yourself, you know, in a situation that you're sitting at a restaurant and someone comes in with a rifle on their back. You know, I know my first response would be to yell gun and get my family under the table. Then the unimaginable could happen. You could have so many people that are trying to protect everybody else start shooting someone who wasn't walking in to commit a crime. They just walked in with a rifle on their back. And unfortunately, no matter how hard we tried and debated and fought that bill, it still passed.
Easily.
Mm-hmm.
And along party lines.
Right.
And you said...
Right.
I looked up the numbers, and yeah, it's 77-23.
Mm-hmm.
That's, in other words, they can pass something with a three-quarters majority without breaking party lines. Wow. I mean, that's pretty,
right.
That's a pretty firm stranglehold. And so, you know, that's why I asked the question, how hard is it to get anything done, you know, from your caucus's perspective?
Mm-hmm. Well, we can't give up. You know, all we can do is keep our focus on doing what's right for the people of Oklahoma and hoping that with different bills, we can break down those party lines and work together to pass some very important legislation that could make, you know, huge differences and get us out of the bottom 10 of every list that's out there. You know, I know the governor keeps talking about top 10 Oklahoma. You know, we really have to worry about getting out of the bottom 10. And that's what our Democratic caucus is focused on. And we just don't give up. It's not easy, and it is rare that we have a bipartisan bill go through, but we celebrate every time and just keep on going.
So what bills are you running that you'd like folks to know about?
Well, I have, I'll just give you, you know, in general,
okay.
I focus a lot of my energy on domestic violence in Oklahoma. You know, we have horrible statistics and we're one of the worst states in the country for rates of domestic violence.
There's one of those bottom 10 lists you were talking about.
That's right. Another bottom 10 list. And I'm a survivor of domestic violence, and it really hits close to my heart. So I have two bills that are dealing with domestic violence. One would allow the victim to testify via telecommunications in another room, so that intimidation factor isn't there of sitting in the same courtroom just feet apart from the person who possibly just almost beat her to death. And it's, you know, it's something that can help all victims, you know, male or female. So that one was, I ran it last year and it was one step away from being signed by the governor, but we ran out of time. And so I'm running that this year. And also, another bill that I'm running for domestic violence is that when there's a domestic violence incident, the accused abuser has to relinquish all weapons until the case is taken care of. And that, to me, would make a world of difference because there's a lot of anger that can be involved after a domestic violence situation. And getting guns out of the hands of both parties is so important because we know the statistic that you're 80% more likely to use a gun if you have a gun.
Right.
So that bill is trying to address that issue. My other bills are focused on solar power, bringing solar power into Oklahoma. It's something that we should be in the top five for solar power production, but unfortunately we are in the bottom four, and we just have too many rules and regulations that are stopping businesses at our borders. And my bills deal with rewriting those rules and regulations so that we can say we are open for business for solar power. And it would be a wonderful economic booster for Oklahoma, bring in lots of jobs. And most of these companies move in to a town, they settle in, and they pay Oklahoma taxes. They aren't from out of state, just sending in a temporary crew. So we want solar power in Oklahoma. It's something that could really make a difference in our state.
So I guess one could presume the pushback is coming from the fossil fuel lobbies?
Pushback comes from oil and gas and utilities because they're all, of course, very conscious of their bottom line. And they don't want anything that could, hurt their bottom line or maybe it's a tight group that works through the Corporation Commission. And bringing in another industry to be a part of that, like we brought the wind industry in, now it's time to bring solar in, and there's just a lot of pushback because different people feel intimidated because they don't know a lot about it. And we also have such a strong oil and gas lobby that they're completely against it.
Interesting. All right. So what other issues? I know that redistricting is going to be a thing in this session. At some point, they're going to have to talk education again. Heaven knows, we're not, that problem's not solved just yet. What else do you see that's going to, I guess, grab some headlines here over the next few weeks?
A big problem is the budget. The budget is going to be flat. I've been told that we will only have 1% more in the budget this year than we did last year. So that will stop us from continued increasing our investments into education, into healthcare, into almost anything new, because the budget's going to be so flat. But at the same time, the governor plans to put a few more million into the rainy day savings fund. Our big question is, why do we need well over $1 billion in the rainy day savings fund when we have schools, hospitals, and citizens that are in desperate need of funding?
Well, and since we're, you mentioned the topic of hospitals and healthcare in general, I think the whole Medicaid expansion issue is going to be on the table, yeah?
That's going to be huge. And with what the governor's been saying about him implementing Medicaid expansion by July, there's one thing to be very aware of. He has no intention of keeping Medicaid expansion as it is, as it would be, I'm sorry, in Oklahoma. His full intention is to bring in Medicaid expansion in July and then put together a state question that says something along the lines of, hey, you know, look, we have an even better plan for Oklahoma that's just like Medicaid expansion. So just check this little box and everything is going to be great. But what that's going to do is, if that state question, and it doesn't have a number yet, if it wins, it will put us in a situation of block grants. It will lessen the reimbursement for physicians. More hospitals will close, and it's just the antithesis to Medicaid expansion and the billions of dollars that would be coming into Oklahoma.
So, and this is where I get a little murky on all this. We've got a state question which got some 300,000 certified signatures that seeks to put Medicaid expansion into the state constitution. And then we've got the governor going to Washington, D.C. to announce that he's going to sign up Oklahoma, first state ever, for the new Medicaid block grant program offered by the Trump administration. So we've basically got two competing plans for Medicaid expansion, which one of which is Medicaid expansion, the other which is sort of Medicaid expansion. But as you mentioned, could put job requirements, could put higher copays, could put all kinds of stuff on, you know, on patients, as opposed to the one that is moving its way through as a state question, which the governor has yet to schedule.
Well, what's interesting to me is he's the governor of Oklahoma, but he went to Washington, D.C. to announce his Medicaid plan. He should, in my opinion, he represents Oklahoma. That is, this plan that we end up with will affect every citizen of this state. When you're talking about Oklahoma, when you're talking about Oklahoma medicine and access to health care, you need to be in Oklahoma in front of your citizens, making those announcements, not standing in Washington, D.C. next to Trump, who will obviously, you know, won't really care about what's going on in Oklahoma, in my opinion.
All right, so let's talk about one more thing, and then I'll let you go, because you've been super generous with your time. I watched the Democratic presidential debate last night, and it was a hoot.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting. Fascinating to see what's going on. There seems to be a real battle for the central messaging of this party. Is it going to be, if we pull a little bit left with, let's say, for example, with Senator Bernie Sanders, the country's ready to head that direction with us. There's another school of thought that's, we better, if we want to bring the independents and a few Republicans in and actually win in November, we better stay kind of closer to the middle of the road. And now you're talking about somebody like Mayor Pete, who's, I'm going to tell you on a personal note, I find that guy very impressive for his youth and inexperience, notwithstanding. Yes. That guy was very poised last night. And then you've got the entry of Mr. Bloomberg. Long story short, Senator Lankford, I spoke with him yesterday. He said he thinks the Democrats are headed for a brokered convention. Is that a nightmare scenario, or is that, a return to the way we used to choose our presidential candidates? What do you think?
Well, I'll tell you what. When I was watching the debate last night, it was fascinating to see the gloves come off and people just came out swinging from the very moment it began. And, we have Bloomberg was up there for the first time. He didn't seem quite as prepared, but I think that Bloomberg throws a whole other option into our presidential candidates going into the national convention, because he does, of all the candidates, he's bringing in his experience from New York City. He has the money to run his own campaign without asking for any donations. And he is much more of a centrist. And so now I believe that the candidates are having to completely change their approach to things because they have this new object in the room that seems to be getting a whole lot of attention. Now, if we go into a convention, we have a brokered convention. I don't know. I think that it would be a shame to see that, because we don't need more chaos. We need to go in with everyone on the same page so that we can get the strongest candidate that can win and beat Trump. And that is the number one priority. We have to have a candidate that can beat Trump. I can tell you that Bernie Sanders won't carry Oklahoma. And then you have, Mayor Pete. He's done such a great job that, South Bend, is that his city?
Yes, South Bend, Indiana.
Okay. So with Mayor Pete, he has experience from South Bend, Indiana, the home of Notre Dame, and he's very poised. He's very intelligent, but I can't see anyone, I can't see him winning. And because of his youth and inexperience, but I can see him absolutely growing in politics. I can see a Bloomberg-Warren ticket, which would be very strong.
Denise Brewer, Democratic Representative for District 71 in the State House of Representatives. Special thanks to KRMG's Russell Mills for the interview. This is Oklahoma Perspective for Cox Media Group. I'm Bert Williams.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.